specifically, Lord, to individuals in this room, to families, to marriages, to young men and young women today, Lord. I thank you for leading us, directing us, ordering our steps as a church. We hear your word today because we are the church, and we're excited about the plan you have for us. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. I nearly forgot our junior high, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I'm sorry, Chris. You got to wave at me. You got to throw something at me. You got to holler at me. Amen. Junior high, you're welcome to go. Mr. Chris is right back there. Has a great program for you this afternoon. Come on, let's give all of our junior high a hand today. Hallelujah. Awesome young men and young ladies. Fantastic. Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you, guys. So we are in a series called I Am the Church. Last Sunday, we rolled out our new branding and new logo and just preached our way through that a little bit. And there was so much good feedback. I appreciate that so very much. I'm glad you're excited. It's not about just changing things. It's not about just turning things upside down. That certainly is not what we're trying to do here at the church. We're just trying to freshen things up, and so we did that with our brand, and it has some meaning to it. It has some teeth. It has some understanding, and there was so much good feedback because of that, and I'm grateful. But I want to take another step because this is our church. Just look at somebody and tell them that. This is my church. This is my church. And it will be, and it is what we make it. Our church will be what we make it. It will become what we make it. I don't know about you, but I want our church to be incredible. I want our church to be powerful. I pass other churches in town daily, and I bless them. I pray for them. When I'm passing churches, God, send them a harvest. Send them souls. I pray for them. But listen, my affection is set on this house. I want every church to be prospered and blessed. I'm not in competition. We're not in competition with any other church. We're in kingdom business. But this is the house that I am invested in. This is the house that I am constantly thinking about. You know, if you have a stock that you've invested in, maybe you've got something in your retirement portfolio, and you see that ticker, or you check once a day to see whether or not the market is up or down. There's a whole lot of other tickers that are running by, a lot of other codes and numbers that are running by, but you're really focused on that one because that's the one that you are invested in. This is my church. I am invested here, and so I want it to be strong. I want it to be blessed. I want it to be everything that God desires and has planned for it to be. So today, I want to talk a little more about the church. We'll talk about what the church is for you and I and how we should respond to it. 1 Kings chapter 10 today. 1 Kings chapter 10, if you have your Bible or an iPad or iPhone, or if you have an eyeball, you can look at the screen and it'll be right there for you. 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1. He said, "Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue or a group of assistants. She came with a big entourage. She had camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered he answered her questions that there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. Verse 4, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. So I want you to see this scene today, because this is Solomon's temple. It was the first permanent place of worship. Without going into too great of detail, you remember that this is the house that God put into David's heart. David was a worshiper, the man after God's heart, but because of different circumstances in David's life, God did not allow David to build the temple. So here comes Solomon. Here come others that are building this temple, and it is this magnificent edifice. It is unbelievable. If we had time to go into the detail today, I mean, literally, the walls are overlaid with gold. This building would be in the billions of dollars to construct in our modern time. But here is this incredible place of worship. God's house, God's people had always been mobile. They had always been moving. But David, these men thought God was deserving of a place of worship. And so they ultimately build this incredible architecture, and this church is magnificent. But it's really not about the details of the building, because the church has always been the people and the spirit of the house much more than it has been the building. I know we value buildings and we appreciate property, and we have 60,000 square feet or so of building here, and hallways and property and acres, and we love all of that. Thank God for it. We work hard to try to take care of it and make sure that it is what it needs to be. But the strength of this church is the people that are sitting in this room right now. It's not the building that makes the church valuable. It's not the acreage that makes the church valuable. It's the spirit of this house. And I want you to understand that today, because it absolutely, it makes a difference in how we approach the house of God. But when you look at how this queen, this woman of great importance, when she comes, they believe, from Africa over to where this temple is, and she begins to see all of this. I mean, it's fantastic. I know she's a queen. I know she is a woman of royalty, but she's just a person. She's just a person breathing, inhaling and exhaling. She's a person. It doesn't matter who God sends, whether they are someone important in the community or whether they are completely unknown. We're not picky at the church at Covington. Anybody can come here. We're glad people walk through the doors, glad that people feel the drawing of the Lord toward this house. But here she comes, and the Bible said that she came with hard questions. She probably came thinking, you know what, I'm going to discount this before I ever get there. I've heard so much about churches, or I've seen so much on TV, or I've seen things handled, misappropriated, things done wrong so many times. I've got some really hard questions. I'm going to find out just whether or not they are serious about this. I'm going to go in and almost pick a fight or start an argument. That's the way people can be sometimes. Sometimes we filter our new experiences by our old experiences. Sometimes we walk into a church and we judge this church by, maybe wherever we were last. And sometimes we don't give things a fair shake. Sometimes, we allow other things to cloud our judgment. She came with answer hard questions. I believe there are people that are on their way to the church. There may be people here today that you have some questions. You have some hard things in your life, some arguments in your mind, and you're just wondering if anybody is going to be patient with you, if anyone is going to take time with you, if anyone is going to sit down and talk to you for just a moment. She came maybe thinking that she would trip Solomon up, but Solomon said, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to answer your questions. Because I believe that's what the church does. We answer questions. We answer the hard questions that people are facing in their lives. What do I do about my marriage that is falling apart? What do I do with my teenager that has gone crazy? What do I do with these circumstances in my life? You don't need me to get up and recite poetry today. You need somebody to answer your hard questions. That's what we try to do every single Sunday. Answer the questions. Answer the things that life is presenting to you. He answered every single one of those. And one of the reasons that he could do that is because the Bible said that she spoke all that was in her heart. It's impossible to speak all that's in your heart and it not be grounded, rooted in honesty. She came saying, look, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm just going to lay it all out there. I'm just going to tell you what it is that I'm facing. I'm going to tell you what it is that I'm dealing with. I'm going to tell you what it is that I am going through. Listen, if you happen to be in her position, trying to figure out where you fit, trying to figure out where you belong, trying to figure out what is next in your life, don't hold anything back from God. It may take us a little while to get to know one another. We may guard certain aspects and areas of our life. But listen, you got to be honest in the presence of the Lord, because the only way to get the help that you need is to come to Jesus with all of your heart, not holding anything back. Present your body a living sacrifice. Just say, hey, Lord, here I am in your presence. I can't hide anything from you anyway, because you know it all. So I might as well worship you with an honest heart. I might as well praise you with everything that I have and not hold anything back. She spoke all that was in her heart, and something happened. Because you can't be honest in the presence of God and it not move you or change you. It's impossible. When you come to Him in honesty, He says, let me work for your life. Let me move in your life. And that began to happen. And we read that unfold. The Bible said that when she began to see, when she saw all of the wisdom of Solomon, when she saw the house that was built, when she saw the food on his table, when she saw the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, when she saw all of these things, it literally moved her. The Bible said that she saw the wisdom. She heard the wisdom in the word that was presented. It was an honest word. It was a real word. It's what we try to do here every single week, whether it's me preaching or one of our other teachers or speakers, preachers. We want to come with a real word, because again, we waste your time if we're not answering your questions. What is it that people are facing? What is it that people are dealing with? What is it that people are going through? That is what we're trying to help. And when she heard the wisdom of that house, there was no one talking frivolous. There was no one just running mouth. They were wise in that house. The word that's being taught on a Wednesday small group, it's helpful. It's needful. It's impacting in my life. When I heard the teaching on Sunday morning, it helped me. It built me. It established me in the faith. When she heard the wisdom, and then when she saw the house, the Bible said, the way that it was built, when she saw the house and the way that it was kept and the way that it was taken care of, when she saw the house and what it was used for, it touched her, it moved her. When she saw the house, I don't know about you, but this house is impressive. This church is impressive. It doesn't matter from which direction you're driving from. It's breathtaking to me. It's wow, that's the house of the Lord. That's the church that I go to. I love walking into this church and seeing it clean. I love walking into this church and seeing the chairs straight. I love walking in and knowing that the bathrooms are well attended and taken care of. I love that our church kids today are worshiping and being taught in a clean and a well-appointed environment. When she saw the house, you're saying, wait a minute, are those things important? You better believe they are important. People like seeing fresh paint on the walls. People like seeing, that things are being taken care of. It's nice having an air-conditioned auditorium to worship in. People like having those comforts. When she saw the house, she was moved and she was stirred. And then she saw their food. Whew, thought somebody might get excited about the food. When she saw their food. It's not just how they slice the prime rib. It's not just how, or should I say, Boston butt. I'm learning these things here in Georgia. I don't know whether I'm eating the front end, the back end, the foot. I don't know what's going on with Boston, but we're eating all of Boston. And when she saw the food, but it wasn't about how the food was prepared. It was the fact that there was so much of it. It was their generosity. It's the fact that they had set that table with so much abundance. They had gone over the top. When she saw their generosity, when she saw that they were willing to give the shirts off their back, when she saw they were willing to do anything, it didn't matter what it was. If it's a funeral for Mrs. Jackson on Saturday afternoon, let me change my plans and go and get enough chicken to feed 200 people. Let me make this mac and cheese. Let me prepare these desserts. When she saw their food, hear me. We can help people. We can touch people. We can change people's lives with our food. Believe it or not, you're thinking it's all about an altar. Listen, there's a whole lot that happens away from the altar that ministers to people and blesses people and helps people. And if you're a part of Church Cares, if you're a part of blessing people, if you're a part of building people or feeding people, put a smile on your face, because when you hand them a piece of chicken, you are handing them a piece of Jesus. When you hand them a helping of mac and cheese, you are giving them a helping of Jesus Christ and His Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen food as spiritual, but I see food as spiritual. I was just starting to think food was sinful. Well, maybe it can be that too. Probably a real fine line. I probably get on the wrong side of it a few times here and there. Somebody brought me some double stuffed Oreos this week, and they're my new favorite church member. I'm just going to be honest. You can get right to my heart and right into my good graces with a double stuffed Oreo, I promise you. When she saw their food, she was moved. When she saw the seating and the service, when she saw the way that the house was organized, when she saw the way that the ministries operated, when she saw the functionality of the house, can I just tell you today that chaos does not bless the kingdom of God? Can I just tell you that things out of order does not bring the presence of God? There's a right way to do things. There's a proper way to do things. There's a plan for this service today. We didn't just show up and just, well, whatever happens, happens. No, we make a plan. We spend hours all through the week preparing a Sunday service. Worship prepares for hours, plans, and works. Today they did a couple of new songs, and they were a blessing and awesome. And I know we don't really know them, so we're just kind of, well, I'm going to let them sing this to me today until I know the words and just hear what this is. But it takes hours to put all of that together. That doesn't mean that we created a box that God has to live in our box. Oh no, there's all kind of movement. There's all kind of opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord to do what he wants to do. But guess what? He loves order. He doesn't like chaos. And so when she saw the seating and the service, when she saw the way that his attendants handled their business, when she saw the greeters and the way that they welcomed people and they knew what was happening in the church, when she saw the ushers and how they took care of folk. Sometimes we have things happen in the house and you never even know anything about it because our ushers or our security team, they just take care of it. It's all about having a distraction-free environment. When she saw all of this, there was something that was stirred in her. Bible said that she saw the cupbearers. What is a cupbearer? They were actually very important people. They were high up in the royal kingdom, cupbearers. Cupbearers were people that went and tasted the drink that was going to be served to make sure that it had not been poisoned, to make sure that no one had gotten into it. We were passing a water treatment plant the other day in Atlanta, and it looked like Fort Knox. I mean, there were high fences, and there were armed guards, and there were very strong gates, and someone commented, well, that looks like a pretty serious deal. And I said, well, of course it is. That's a water treatment. What if they have to protect that because some random person could just come in there and drop the wrong thing into the water, and what would it do to millions of people? That there were cupbearers that said, you know what, we want to make sure that everyone has a good experience. If you would allow me just the latitude of making these cupbearers modern day protectors of culture, protectors of glory, people, I'm not talking about rude people, I'm not talking about angry people, but people that will tell you, listen, if you're going to talk about my church, you're going to talk to somebody else because I am here to protect, I'm here to guard the glory of this house. I'm not interested in entertaining negative conversations. That's all right. I'll preach by myself today. I got no problem. I don't want to hear because this is my church, and I'm going to make sure that when we get there on Sunday, the anointing is right, the presence of God is right, his glory is good. Talk that to somebody else because my church is blessed and we're on our way somewhere. Tell someone beside you, I'll help take care of the cup because I want his glory to be pure in this house. We need some protectors in this house. If you find yourself getting drugged into every conversation that's negative, then you ought to check yourself. If you don't know why they always call you, first of all, learn to use the caller ID. It works wonders. I do not answer every call that comes to this phone. Because I'm just out here by myself. That's all right. They keep calling you because you like to hear it. Want to know the latest and the greatest. And who's, they said what? They did what? No, I'm protecting the house. I'm not listening to all of that because I know that God is doing something great. All of these things, the wisdom, the building, the food, the seating and service, all of those things were important. All of it works together. But what moved her the most was the way that they entered in. That's what moved her. That's what stirred her. Did you hear what she said? She saw all of those things, the food, the setting of servants, the service of waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. When she saw that, the Bible said that there was no more spirit in her. She felt faint. She was out of breath. She was so moved by the way that they came in, the way that they entered in, the way that they moved toward the thing of God, the things of God, their posture. When she saw their zeal, when she saw their excitement, when she saw the way that they entered into the house of the Lord. Hear me on summer Sunday morning. I see the lights. I hear the music. I'm blessed by all of that. But what makes the difference is how we come in with our commitment, how we come in with our praise, how we come in with our zeal toward the things of God. She said, I saw that and it moved me. When I saw how you came into the church, these are people that took the church serious. These are people that did not play games. These are people that meant business about the things of God. The Bible said when she saw how he entered and went up into the house of God. I'm just preaching for a little while today. I'm going up to the church. I'm going up. When she saw how that he went up into the house of God. I don't know about you, but if church is just an option for you, then you haven't entered right. If church is just a holiday thing in your life, then you haven't entered right. If church is just the plan B in your life, then you will not enter right. Mom and dad, hear me, please. Hear a pastor's heart. If you only enter occasionally, there will come a day that your kids will never darken the doors. Because it's all about how you enter. It's all about how you come in. It's all about what matters to you. If sports and work and anything else comes first, then Jesus will never be first. Talking about the church, I am the church. Because I want to dispel any notion that this building is the church or the property is the church or in any program. No, the church is you and I, and this church will only be as strong as you and I are. This church will only be as powerful as you and I are committed. I am the church. You are the church. We have to take this serious. We have to approach this serious. I'm not talking about being so stoic that we never smile at anyone or we pray out of a book. No, you know me by now. I'm crazy. I say all kinds of stuff. And if you don't get Kristen out of kids, church kids back in here, I don't have anybody to correct me or keep me in line. I'm liable to say about anything. I'm not talking about being strong. I'm talking about approaching this with our heart that says, you know what? There is nothing more important than this time right here on Sunday morning. I'm going to give it my very best. I'm going to walk in and I'm going to worship God with my whole heart. I'm going to give him everything that I have because I'm going up to the church. I'm going up. And that's what matters so much to me. Because even when this people, when they were mobile, they were a nomadic people. They're wandering around in the wilderness and it's hundreds of thousands of people. It's not a small group of people. It's not 300 or so. I mean, it's 300,000, many as a million. It's a lot of people. And they would move And they would journey from this place to that place. They were on their way somewhere, finding, looking for, searching for the promised land, trying to get there. And so they would move. Their places of worship were always somewhere different. They would move 10 miles down the road. Can you imagine hauling your family every few days, packing up everything that you belong, and walking, not getting in an air-conditioned vehicle, but getting on a wagon, getting on horseback, getting on camelback, or just walking alongside all of your possessions, walking 10 or 12 miles today, trying to get there before sundown, walking today, and then we finally arrive. This is where we're going to be. This is our next campsite. This is our home for the next week or for the next few days. This is where we are going to be. And you know the first thing that they would do before they set up their own tent, before they established where the baseball field was going to be for the kids, where they were going to water their camels. You know the first thing they did? The first thing they did was set up and establish the tabernacle of God. It's the first thing they did. Before they unpacked their suitcase, they established where they were going to worship. Read it. It's all through the Bible. Exodus, Numbers. It's how they worked. It's how they moved. They arrived at a new place, and they went and set up the ark. They put all of that in its rightful place, all of that furniture. And then, once they got the Holy of Holies established, then the people, they began to set up their houses. They began to set up their tents. They began to set up where they were going to teach the children school. They began to set up their lives, and everyone set up their tent in circles around the house of God. And the front doors of that tent faced the house of God. I'm talking about the way that we enter in. I'm talking about the way that we see the church. I'm talking about the place that the church has in our lives. Where is our door facing? What are we making sure is established first? What is taking precedent and priority to the house of God? Pastor Darrell, you kind of preach an old-fashioned commitment today. Yes, I am, and I do not apologize. Because great churches are not built on talent, and great churches are not built on beautiful buildings. Great churches are built because people are bought in and committed, and they have established their lives around the house of God. Listen, I know I'm about to touch the sacred cow. I know I'm about to make somebody mad. I know it, but listen, before I make you mad, I want you to know I love you, and I love double stuffed Oreos. But hear me, I know sports is a big deal in Georgia, but it's not more important than Jesus. I know, I made you mad, but just come back one more Sunday, just give me one more chance. I have people tell me all the time, we want to be a church, we just can't be there because it's baseball season. You know what? You get a cancer diagnosis in your life, what's the coach going to do? Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching against baseball. My kid played this year and had a great time, and we loved it. I hope he plays again, and I hope your kids play. But I don't want to teach my kids that everything else comes first, and Jesus comes second or third or tenth. Jesus has got to be first in my life. It's how I'm entering into the house of God. What am I viewing as important? They set up their houses around everything. Everything came second to God. He was first in their lives. They knew where they were going to worship before they knew where they were going to sleep. They knew where they were going to serve before they knew anything else in their life, because God was everything to them. He was first. He was first. They were going up to the church. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I've had this conversation. Pastor, we're moving. We took a job over here in Timbuktu. Really? Awesome. Tell me about the job. Oh, man, it's great. We're going to make double the money we were making. Awesome. Hey, that's great. Where are you going to go to church in Timbuktu? Oh, I don't know. I just know where I'm going to work. No, don't decide money first. Don't decide work first. Decide God first. Can I be a good pastor and tell you the truth today? There is nothing more important in your life. Your next dollar, your next paycheck, nothing is more important than God in your life. And if you will seek first the kingdom of God, then all of the other stuff will be added to your life. There is nothing more important than God. Does that mean we can't have fun or go on? No, you do all of that. But why not keep God first? Why not make sure that He is in His rightful place in your life? They were going up to the church. How many times in my life have I said, I'm going up to the church. I'm going up to the church. The church has never been uphill from anywhere I've ever lived. And yet I keep saying, I'm going up to the church. My kids, Dad, where are you going today? I'm going up to the church. Dad, what are we doing today? We're going up to the church. Sounds like I'm going to have to put it in low gear and we're going to have to drive up the high grade. No, it's. I don't know what it is. I'm just going up to the church. I still say it. It's my life. Kristen and I are trying to build our family around the church. Sometimes it's a struggle. We've drug our kids to more meetings, more practices and rehearsals. And then it's, you know, all right, we're going. So who's going to be there? Who's going to be at the church? Oh, who's going to be in the meeting? Oh, it's this one and that one. Okay, they're trying to gauge who's going to be in the meeting by whether or not they have kids their age. All right, let's go. Where are we going? We're going up to the church because we're children of the church. Our lives are built around the house of God. We're at the church. What is God doing at the church? In a day when people choose everything, anything over the church. The church needs people who are living with their front door facing in the direction of His house. No, the church has never been uphill from anywhere I've ever lived. And yet I feel like I'm leaving my way and going up to His way. Isaiah 55 and 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I want my home to be a sanctuary. I want my home to be place of peace. I want my home to be a place that I can worship. But can I tell you, the church is still the church? I'm in church all the time, whether physically or online. I love the church. I'm in church all the time. I love to listen to messages online and Facebook Live. It's cool. You can go to churches all over America anytime. And often I've got earbuds in and I'm going to church somewhere. But can I tell you that sitting in my recliner in my pajamas, don't get a visual of that. I'm sorry, somebody did. Close your eyes real tight, it'll go away. It's not the same. Sitting in the recliner watching church is not the same as ramming my foot down inside of these dress shoes, making sure all my hairs are in place, driving, and getting into the house of God. Not the same. I want to be in the house of God. I want to be in the presence of God because I draw strength from you. I like rubbing shoulders with you. I like connecting with you. I like fellowshipping with you. I like being where you are. Because I found I don't worship at home the same way I worship at church. He told us in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, listen, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, call one another, compel one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He's saying it's not time for less, it's time for more. It's not time to get comfortable in a recliner somewhere. It's time to commit, to buy in, to say, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to God's house. We need people to go up the right way. Everyone's welcome. While you're getting to know me, let me just tell you, I'm not interested in building a crowd. Thank God for the crowd. We'll do everything short of sin to get people in the building. I know one pastor that got up to his church and announced that Oprah was going to be there the next Sunday. This is wrong, by the way. This is completely wrong. Announced Oprah was going to be at church the next Sunday. Man, they had parking crisis. Every seat full, chairs out in the aisle. It was insane. He never mentioned a word about Oprah. She was never supposed to be there, never going to be there. Had no promise. Just trying to get people to church. He got up and just preached. Wonderful message. People looking, going, where is Oprah? I came here to see Oprah. We're not doing that. Next Sunday, Jesus is going to be here.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You get a blessing and you get a blessing.
And there you go.
We'll do everything we can to get people in the house of God. But here's the reality. If we have to gimmick them in, we'll have to gimmick them to stay. You remember Jesus in John 6? He fed them with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Thousands of people. The Bible said they ate and they ate and they ate as much as they wanted. They went home. They came back the next day. Read it. Read a little further into John chapter 6. They came back the next day. And the Bible said they wanted more bread. They wanted more fish. And Jesus said, what are you talking about? What? No, wait, you missed the point. I am the bread of life. Yeah. But that wasn't their response. Read in John 6, 65, 66. The Bible said many of them went back. They walked away because he would not feed them bread and fish. The crowd is wonderful, but the committed are who make the difference.
Yes.
Am I committed? Am I bought in? Have I decided that nothing else matters to me but Jesus? Because we're not putting on a show. This is interactive. It's participation and not spectator. Where are you going? I'm going up to the church. Going up. Going up. Something about the ascent in my mind. I know I'm going somewhere different. It's different than work, different than school, different than going up, getting into the presence of God. Can I challenge you today? When you walk through these doors, don't just sit down and fold arms and wait for somebody to move you. Your worship changes the atmosphere. Your worship moves the heart of God. And that's not my song, worship God. It's not my style. Worship God. Why? Because I am the church. I'm the church. Would you stand with me across the room today? Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. You all right?